Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live every day about 3 o'clock Central Time. You can watch us at halftime and postgame every single Cowboys game. You can listen on our podcast feed. Subscribe to the Blog on the Boys podcast feed on all Apple and Android devices. You can also subscribe to the official Blog on the Boys Facebook, YouTube channel. Go subscribe on YouTube. We got a brand new video there. It is not just me in the video. It is me and my dad, Papa Ocho. What's up, my dude?
Oh, man, just celebrating a great victory today.
It is Sunday, November 18th, 2018. We finally got a chance to sit down and have sort of a sit-down talk about what happened. The Dallas Cowboys won today. They won 22-19 on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. They have won two games in a row for the first time this season. And they played at noon, so there was still kind of a lot going on across the NFL. We would come to find out that Washington Redskins quarterback Alex Smith broke his tibia and his fibia. Obviously, our best thoughts to Alex and to his family. That's, you never want to see that. And they lost to the Houston Texans, so they are now 6-4. The New York Giants beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whatever. And the Philadelphia Eagles just got, the doors blown off of them. Literally the worst loss that any defending Super Bowl champion has incurred.
Yeah.
What a day.
No, absolutely. I mean, that kind of a trifecta for the Cowboys there. With them winning and Eagles and Redskins both losing. And that sets up a fantastic game on Thanksgiving. And I think that's 2-3 weeks ago, this is probably the best that we thought we could do is go into that game 5-5.
Well, even rewind to exactly a week ago, because as we're talking right now, we're getting ready to watch Sunday Night Football, to put in perspective for the podcast listeners. And so a week ago at this exact time, the Cowboys had not even kicked off in Philadelphia. Yeah. They were, their last game, their last performance was the Monday night game against the Tennessee Titans, which, you know, even though you're supposed to remember the Titans, it seems like we've forgotten that game. This team today in Atlanta, I thought, they came out really strong offensively, should have had that touchdown to Cole Beasley, and then fell asleep for 2.5 hours. They woke up in the second half. Dak Prescott had the rushing touchdown, and then Leighton Vander Esch, we talked about this in the postgame, which you can watch on the Blog and the Voice Facebook live feed. Leighton Vander Esch almost single-handedly, woke everybody up with the interception that he had on Matt Ryan.
Yeah, very alert player. Kind of reminds me of, Earl Thomas a little bit. He seems to be at the right place all the time and makes plays out of his presence wherever he's at.
Just to be clear, you mean his just the who he is, not his game or anything. You just
that's kind of how Earl Thomas is. He's, seems to be there when someone deflects a pass or whatever, and he's just there to catch it. He's fantastic. He plays with a lot of energy and a lot of motivation and inspires the rest of the team.
Shout out to John Dyer, who I know is an avid Ocho Live listener and ESPN San Antonio listener. John sent me and a good friend of mine, Ari Temkin, a tweet when that interception happened. It was a tip ball, as you mentioned, off of the hands of Atlanta Falcons rookie wide receiver Calvin Ridley, which was an incredible bit of poetry when you look at the fact that the Cowboys were connected to Calvin Ridley before the draft, perhaps during the draft. It came out this morning. I know that Ari's pregame co-host on 105 Through the Fan, Jesse Holly, said that somebody close to Calvin Ridley had said that Calvin was sore about this game because he had been told the night of the draft that he was going to be drafted by the Cowboys, so he had a chip on his shoulder. But today he really just had a ball on his shoulder that Leighton Vander Esch caught.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, that... did happen, and like I said, you know, Van Der Esch just seems to have a knack for being where the action is and making big plays.
I find it so Cowboys, and I really hate saying that, but it really is so Cowboys that they had not won two games in a row yet this season. They had not won any games on the road this season as of this exact moment a week ago. They have now not only won on the road, but they've won twice on the road. In fact, they've won two games consecutively on the road against the last two NFC champions in the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. And, like, today, after the Van Der Esch interception, they scored a touchdown. They turned a turnover into 7 points. Well, 6 points, because the Brett Maher missed extra point. But I mean, you know, we talk about this a lot, like, and I'm not at all saying the Cowboys are catching fire. I think they're a benefit of who they are becoming and the environment around them when you look at the NFC East right now. But kind of amazing. I mean, look, there are a lot of people who are down on Jason Garrett, understandably so, and Scott Linehan, etc. I think, though, that you really have to give them an enormous amount of credit. It doesn't mean you have to give them an extension or say they're the best coaches ever, but you have to give them an enormous amount of credit because they were staring their firings right in the eye a week ago in Philadelphia. They were staring the end of their careers as we know it, and they buckled down and they won two games that everybody picked for them to lose.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you portrayed this, the Cowboys now are seeming to accomplish things that seemed to elude them for most of the season. And, you know, they're doing it with coaching that I think, for example, last week, I really think that the Cowboys coaching staff outcoached the Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff. We saw that on several occasions on the fake punt and other things such as that. And today they coached a strong game. You know, they made adjustments at halftime and enabled the team to go out and execute much like they should be doing. And the only time I was really disappointed were the second to last possession where they basically decided to play conservative again.
The Cowboys.
Instead of going out for the jugular and you know, just putting the game
away.
You're
talking when the Cowboys were up 7.
Yeah.
Kind of got a little conservative, kind of thought, we'll just go play defense. And then Julio Jones showed up.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of the end of that.
Yeah.
We had some questions about Colt McCoy, who we'll get to in a little bit. Colt McCoy obviously going to start at quarterback for the Redskins on Thanksgiving, what with Alex Smith being done for the season. But we have a lot of comments about Brett Maher, the Cowboys kicker. So Brett did not miss a field goal in this game in Atlanta, but he did obviously miss an extra point, which is probably more egregious than missing a field goal. And you think back, this dates back, coincidentally, to Washington. Brett Maher missed the final kick, you know, in Washington that game, obviously, right after the snap infraction penalty on LP Ladouceur. And I think everybody was down to give him a pass for that one because he'd been so good up to that point.
Yeah.
Everybody had really kind of already accepted that the Cowboys were right in deciding to go with Brett over Dan Bailey. It was a gross turf in Washington. The snap infraction penalty kind of threw things off. So everybody kind of gave him a pass. And the Cowboys went on a bye. And then he came out, and his first kick at home in a, not a dome, but indoors at AT&T Stadium, missed against the Tennessee Titans. Last week in Philly, missed. Again, outdoors, whatever. But you got to make those kicks. You play in the NFC East. And then here today, again, not a dome. They did have the roof open, which, by the way, the roof being open at Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a sight to see in the NFL. But missed an extra point. So he's now missed a kick of any kind, of some kind, in four consecutive games. That is very, very, very troubling. I don't know that it's necessarily, let's go release Brett Maher and bring somebody in right away. I know a lot of people feel that way. But it is definitely no longer something you can brush aside and say, it's no big deal. You are now at a point where he's missed a kick in four straight games.
Yeah, no, it is certainly a factor that concerns me and should concern the folks that make the decisions for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's unnerving. And the way he missed that extra point was horrendous.
It was like a knuckleball.
Yeah, it was just a very low, you know, long, like a low drive, if you will. And, you know, I actually thought that he had gone under the goalpost, but, you know, he was higher than that, but he went left, I think. So that's very concerning. You know, you miss a long field goal and you miss it just outside the uprights. Okay, you know, but this should be automatic.
There was a comment on Periscope, by the way, somebody asking if this is a Gregory jersey. It's a Jalen Smith jersey that I have. My dad's got a Zeke Elliott jersey. There was a comment on Periscope, sorry to who it was, but the comments fly up really quickly. that it's happening across the NFL when you look at kicking. And that's true. That's totally true. And I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth here, but does that make you feel better? I mean, I don't think that makes anybody feel better, but does that make you feel like, oh, Brett's normal? You know, this is just a normal thing that's happening to everybody. Or are you at a point where it's, look, I know it's happening to a lot of kickers. I know Cody Parkey hit the uprights 4 times last week, things like that. But this is not normal for the Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we were spoiled and we were, you know, treated to a lot of consistency with Dan Bailey during, you know, most of his career. And so that's something that we, you know, took for granted, I think. And so this, the drama that our new kicker brings is unnerving. And, you know, I, for one, would like to either have him get right, which would be my preference, or, you know, I mean, and I don't know that it's time to do it now and who would you bring in and that type of thing, but it's certainly something to think about as you move forward, and especially, you know, as you go towards the playoffs. I mean, you know, assuming we even get there, I mean, you know, kick can be the world of difference there.
Well, Ben freaking Gomez with a comment on Periscope says that you have to have a reliable kicker in games like these. And credit to the Cowboys for saying, you know, we trust Brett Maher. I mean, it's a lot easier, by the way, to trust him when you're tied at 19 versus if they were trailing 19-17 to win the game. It's a whole different thing. But, I mean, if Brett Maher makes that first extra point, it's not 19-19 at the end. If Brett Maher makes that extra point, the Atlanta Falcons, after the Julio touchdown, have to go for two just to try and tie that game. And so if Brett Maher makes that, you're talking about maybe a less stressful game. The Cowboys won, so all is kind of good anyway. But to a similar degree, if Cole Beasley catches that touchdown on the first possession of the game for the Cowboys, then you're really not worrying about anything. Maybe the Falcons are going onside kick there at the end, whatever. The point is that Brett Maher, definitely something that needs to be addressed in some form. But there were other problems on the Cowboys today. It was far from a perfect game that they played, but I do think that Cole Beasley made up for it. Not only earlier on that possession, he had a big 3rd and 2 where Dak Prescott threw it low to him, and it kind of threw off his momentum. He was still able to shake away for a first down, but on the final possession that set up the Maher field goal, Cole Beasley had the catch that put the Cowboys in field goal range. That was a demerit on his resume today, the drop touchdown, but I thought he bounced back well.
Yeah, he did. He was clutch, you know, throughout the second half. Picked up some good yardage in critical situations. And yeah, I mean, you know, in my eyes, he certainly redeemed himself because we won.
Mm-hmm.
If
we had
lost, we'd be, you know, probably pointing a stronger finger at it.
Cole lost the game because he had that touchdown. No, I agree with you. But I think the biggest catch of the day came from Michael Gallup. On 3rd down, really early on in the what would be the game-winning drive, Michael Gallup had a 3rd down conversion that was huge, that kept that drive alive, came back to the ball. We've seen Michael Gallup make some big-time catches over the last couple weeks. He had the big 3rd down conversion last week in the first half where he picked up 25 yards on that screen play.
Yeah.
That helped the Cowboys score a touchdown at the end of the first half against the Eagles, and that was kind of the turning point in that game. So Michael Gallup, despite the addition of Amari Cooper, who I think has still played well, I know today wasn't like a huge game for him from a stat line perspective, but Michael Gallup has been incredible.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And both those scenarios that you described from last game and today's games were huge. And, you know, you could feel the energy that gets right back into the game when those plays happen like today. And yeah, Amari didn't have a big game, but, you know, I think his presence on the field is kind of what is enabled Michael Gallup to have some breathing room, to have some workability in order to get open and be able to, you know, be a contributor on a situation like that.
I thought it was impressive today in Atlanta that the Cowboys were able, I don't want to say to make second half adjustments, but they were able to kind of do some impressive things. I thought the most impressive thing they did today, as obvious as this sounds, was the Zeke touchdown after the Van Der Esch interception, because that was a moment where they had the 6-point lead because of the missed extra point. And they got the ball back off the interception kind of almost right away after the Dak Prescott rushing touchdown. And that was a moment where the general vibe was bury them, put them away. And granted, they kind of let the Falcons get back in a little bit later on. But the point was they went up 2 possessions on the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons coming into this game had scored 30 points in 4 of their 5 home games. That's 80%, obviously. And they were held under 20 points today. I mean, the Cowboys defense, to kind of segue here, not only held them under 30, but held them under 20. They hadn't been held under 20 all season long at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And their first touchdown came with 2 minutes left in the game. The Cowboys held them touchdownless for 58 minutes in the literal land where they thrive more than anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think that's a big thing to point to. You know, and Julio, what do you have, like 6 catches, 110 or 20 yards, and a touchdown, you know, that may be big numbers for other people, but those are mediocre numbers for Julio Jones.
And it was inflated with the touchdown catch, which was very, very near the end.
Exactly. So now, I mean, again, the Cowboys defense continues to demonstrate consistency, demonstrate ability to stop the big player or the significant contributor from the other team. And, you know, they had pressure on Matt Ryan the entire day. Well, and they missed him just barely a couple of times, but he had pressure in his face and was trying to get rid of, you know, they changed their scheme to have him get rid of the ball quickly on every possession that they had.
I also think it's worth pointing out that the Cowboys did everything they did defensively with no David Irving, no Taco Charlton, no Antoine Woods, and no Sean Lee. I mean, you think back to the game in Atlanta last year when Sean Lee wasn't there, and not that the Falcons, you know, poured it on or anything, but a week later the Eagles did. Certainly that was the worst loss ever to AT&T Stadium. And so that is, I don't know who to attribute the bulk of that credit to. Whether that's Rod Marinelli, whether that's Chris Rashard, whether that's Leighton Vanderish, whether it's Jalen Smith, whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence, whether it's Randy Gregory, whether it's Tyrone Crawford, whether it's Byron Jones, whether it's Jeff Heath, who got hit just tremendously hard today by Julio Jones. I mean, they really are just gelling as a collective unit.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I would not give credit to any one individual. I think they're playing together, they're complementing each other's abilities, and you know, the results are showing.
So the Cowboys are 5-5. The Falcons look done in the NFC South. The NFC South looks like it belongs to the New Orleans Saints. And today was really just a great day overall for the Cowboys. The Carolina Panthers also lost. They're now at 6-4. So if you're the Cowboys, not only is the division seemingly yours if you want to take it, but if it's not, if you're the Cowboys, you're kind of back in the conversation for a wild card in the NFC. And again, we're doing this as Sunday Night Football just begins. So however this shakes out could certainly influence that one direction or another. But the Cowboys, look, again, you never want to see guys get hurt, and that really sucks what happened to Alex Smith, but that is huge. What happened to Alex Smith, the Washington Redskins were not able to pull that game off. They fell to 6-4, and now Colt McCoy will start on a short week on the road against the Cowboys, trying to protect the division lead while the Cowboys are feeling all sorts of momentum, all sorts of positivity. They've won 2 games in a row on the road against the last 2 NFC champions. I don't know. And to be fair, and everybody brought this up, Colt McCoy beat the Cowboys 4 years ago. You'll remember, if you don't remember, it was Monday Night Football. It was the game that Tony Romo hurt his back in. There's that very, very famous shot of him laying on the ground and kind of like the drone above him. Brandon Whedon came into the game. The game went to overtime and the Cowboys lost to Colt McCoy. They showed his parents like 1,000 times. Felt like an old Texas Longhorns game. I thought they were going to tell us how he grew up in a one-stoplight town all over again. So Colt McCoy did win that game, but there was the different circumstances of Tony Romo getting hurt in the middle of it. So I don't know that it's – no game in the NFL is a walk in the park. Unless you're playing the Eagles these days, I guess, but and that's a joke. But if you're the Cowboys, this could not have been a better day for you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things went well for them and continue to bode well for them. Not just as you're saying in the division, but also around their conference. And yeah, so Thursday's going to be a big game. But you know, I don't think that you lose a lot. You know, I'm not belittling Alex Smith, but you know, in my opinion, Alex Smith is not an elite quarterback, and then Colt McCoy is a worthy backup. So the gap between them, the delta between them, is not that big. I mean, there is a gap, I think, but not as huge as you might anticipate. You know, like between Dak and Cooper, in our case. So you know, I mean, he's a worthy backup, and you know, he's gotten the job done when he's had to a few times. So you know, we certainly need to be cautious with him and take a lot of film that's available on him and study it well.
By the way, and again, if you're listening to the podcast version of the show or watching later, it's possible, in fact, I would argue likely, that Sunday Night Football is over. But we got some questions while we were on live right now. Who do we want to win this game, the Bears or the Vikings? Now, when I wrote the rooting guide for bloggingtheboys.com this weekend, I chose the Vikings as the team you wanted to root for. Now, there's two schools of thought here. If you root for the Bears, you could theoretically assume or hope to assume that the Bears would win the NFC North, and that takes care of them, and you push the Vikings out of wild card consideration. I get that. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought where I'm coming from is the Vikings are currently 5-3-1. They're leaving this game with at least 5 wins. The Cowboys just got the 5 wins. The Chicago Bears are 6-3. I would rather the Vikings win so that you have both teams within an arm's reach at 6 wins, because you don't know how this division or how these teams are going to shake out either. So that's my line of thinking in terms of choosing the Vikings, but I get it if you want to root for the Bears.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's really too early to try to decipher who you want to play, because, you know, we need to first solidify our presence there. But, you know, in my opinion, I'd rather, you know, concede the Bears if we, you know, are going to postulate we're going to hypothesize. I'd rather concede the Bears win the division and, you know, separating themselves from the Packers, because at the end of the day, you know, the Packers, they whatever they are, if they make it to the dance, if they make it to the tournament, you know, they have been our Achilles heel, and I'd rather just have them stay home for the holidays.
Well, I get that. And so this game isn't like a critical one way or another, the way the Redskins-Texans one was certainly earlier this afternoon. While we're on the subject of kind of posturizing and formulating and exaggerating, the Cowboys are 5-5, and they host the Washington Redskins on Thanksgiving. We both think they're going to win that game.
Yeah.
So they'll be 6-5, especially now when you factor in the Alex Smith news. So they're 6-5. They get 7 days of rest before they take on the New Orleans Saints, who just, I mean, again, destroyed the... I think they literally broke the Philadelphia Eagles mentally. And I think it's fair to say the Cowboys probably dropped that game. Is that fair? I mean, you know.
You mean with the...
With the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the logic says that they would lose that game.
So,
right,
okay,
now.
So now you've got the Cowboys at 6-6. And by the way, the Eagles and Giants play one another on Sunday after Thanksgiving, so you'll get one loss and one win, you know, however that shakes out as well. But, so you're at 6-6, and you get a week and a half. You get the 11-day mini-bye to prepare for the Philadelphia Eagles at home. And that could be the game where you separate yourself. If you win that game, you go to 7-6. Let's assume that the Philadelphia Eagles win on beat the Giants. Now they're at 5 wins. I think they might play the Rams. If somebody's watching, could you let me know who the Philadelphia Eagles play in Week 13? I think it's the Rams. I could be mistaken, but let's just say they lost that game. So they're sitting on 5 wins. You have the opportunity to get to 7 wins with 3 weeks left. I mean, that's maybe the chance to separate yourself. Again, I could be wrong if they're playing the Rams there or not. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the point is that could be the game. So right now, if you had to choose Cowboys-Eagles December 16th, I think that game falls on. No, December 9th, sorry. December 9th, who do you have in that game?
I got Cowboys. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I think they're riding high. And I think the Eagles are in a, you know, downward spiral right now. It's very obvious.
Oh, I think we've got some comments coming in terms of who the Eagles play that week. We've got some people saying, thank you, everybody saying Rams. So it is the Rams. But when now some people are saying the Redskins that they play. Thank you very much. None other. Eagles play the Redskins week 13. That was a definitive answer. That's what we got. But actually, that's important. So they probably pick up a win. That changes this whole conversation, because now you're talking about next week, which is week 12. The Cowboys beat the Redskins, so now they're, you know, at 6-5. The Eagles are probably going to beat the Giants, so they'll be at 5-5. 5-6. Excuse me, 5-6. So you got the Eagles.
I'm not sold on that, but you know, okay I'll go along.
So
with
let's
that.
Go along with that. You got the Eagles. Let's say the Eagles, the two NFC East games next week. Eagles win, Cowboys win. So now you've got the Eagles sitting at 5-6, and the Cowboys sitting at 6-5. We all think, I think everybody watching, listening, thinks the Cowboys are going to lose to the Saints. That's the logical choice. So they're now 6-6, and the Philadelphia Eagles get the Redskins, and they are 5-6. And that's a Colt McCoy team. You know, if you think the Cowboys are going to walk over the Redskins, it's fair to assume that the Eagles will as well. So now they're 6-6. Now they're only going to get a week, while the Cowboys get a week and a half. But that's where I was getting. I couldn't put all the pieces together in my brain this quickly. Sometimes when we're on live, you know, things get a little, you know, a little hairy. So I appreciate everybody letting us know who the Eagles play that week. But so then you have both teams 6-6. going into that game, which I believe is America's Game of the Week on Sunday. It's not Sunday Night Football, and maybe it gets flexed, who knows. But the point is, that's your division title game. That's it right there.
Yeah, I mean, two things for me is I'm not sold that the Eagles are going to beat the Giants. I mean, the Giants are in a two-game winning streak. They're playing the best football they've played all season. And conversely, the Eagles are playing the worst they've played all season. So, you know, those are two factors to consider when they
sure.
play. And then I'm not certain that the Eagles, even at that low point, could still beat the Redskins with Colt McCoy. Because as I just mentioned, you know, Colt is a very worthy backup. So, you know, it's those are two toss-ups in my mind. I'm not really giving them to the Eagles.
Sure. Well, if the Cowboys come out of that, though, with an opportunity to bury the Eagles, so to speak, I think that's a win in terms of how we looked at this gauntlet.
Yeah, it's a home game.
Exactly. I mean, that and you get a week and a half. You're already at home. Think about it. The Cowboys won't travel between now and that game because they'll get the Redskins at home, the Saints at home, and then they'll get the Eagles, obviously, in that all-important game. And then after that, I don't want to say it's on cruise control because a week after you have to go to Indianapolis, who is playing well. That Colts game is not the cakewalk it appeared to be a few months ago. And then you get the Buccaneers a week later. That looks like a win. Then you get the Giants in the season finale. That looks like a win. So that game, you know, we're in the middle of this gauntlet. And right now they're 2-0, and I never would have thought that that was possible, but here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a short week. You'll be on Ocho Live, I don't want to say a lot this week, but a lot this week, as we get ready for the holidays, certainly Thanksgiving, and we're thinking of everybody. We'd love to hear your Thanksgiving traditions. We're going to have some rivalry stuff up at bloggingtheboys.com this week. Going to have a lot of fun, obviously, celebrating the win. But your early score prediction, and I say early, but it's really not that early. We're talking about 4 days from now, Cowboys-Redskins, Thanksgiving afternoon. You've got, I always forget, what's the chemical in turkey, like Toradol or whatever that makes you sleepy? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Somebody will know, and I'll thank you in advance. I think it's called like
I think it's more the amount you eat, not whatever chemical
I'm telling you, dude.
That makes you sleepy.
But there is legitimately a chemical in turkey
that
makes you sleepy.
That's fine.
A lot of people saying 27-17 Cowboys is
I was just thinking that number.
We've got 31-13
I think it's you know, about a 10-point victory.
Tryptophan is what none other says. It's like tryptophan, I knew it was some of the T.
Good.
So, but so you got 27-17.
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
Or 30-20, something like that.
See, that's too clean of a score. I mean,
yeah, okay.
like 20... And I don't mean clean like, you know, like they'll play a dirty game, but they scored 22 points today. You know what I mean? Like, there's a, you know, that's too conventional. Three touchdowns and two field goals. You know what I mean? There will be something weird. Tryptophan, thank you very much for everyone letting us know. I knew that was a thing. I just did not know. But, you know, whatever. Urban legend. So you got 27-17. I will say 29-16. It's going to be weird. And I think of those 16, I think that's three field goals and a touchdown for the Redskins. I'm kind of... I never like to do this, but I'm kind of on fire with the bold predictions. Last week, I got three bold predictions right, including Leighton Vander Esch's first career interception. This week, I had Leighton Vander Esch getting his second career interception, so kudos to me. And more importantly than anything, the coolest thing about this game was this was the first time that the Cowboys visited the eventual home of that season's Super Bowl since 2013. 5 years ago, when the Cowboys visited the Giants, that Super Bowl would be played at MetLife Stadium, and they beat the Giants 24-21 on a last-second drive by Tony Romo and a Dan Bailey field goal. That was against a quarterback who had played Tom Brady in the Super Bowl 2 years prior. Now, today, the Cowboys visited the site of this season's Super Bowl in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, playing a quarterback who 2 years ago dueled Tom Brady in the Super Bowl in Matt Ryan. He lost. At least Eli won, you know, in terms of these two guys. But and we were there. But just like that game, this game featured the Cowboys quarterback, last-second drive,
yeah.
Cowboys kicker, game-winning field goal, Cowboys won by 3.
Yeah, very, very similar script.
Pretty cool.
And, you know, good call on that. You know, very, very interesting, and I think that it was cool to watch that.
It was a very, very fun day, very, very fun trip. Thanks to everybody for kind of hanging out with us throughout it on Twitter and Periscope and the Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed. We've got tons and tons and tons of content coming for you at blogoftheboys.com this week. It's going to be a busy week, obviously, with the short week, quick turnaround, etc. If you are a fan of Leighton Vander Esch, we have Wolf Hunter t-shirts. You were telling me how cool you thought these were a little while ago. We have Wolf Hunter t-shirts available at blogoftheboys.com. They're $26. They've got a wolf and a moon. And, it's
and that's what everyone calls him.
Right. That's what Jalen Smith nicknamed him, of all people. And so, you know, you can get a Wolf Hunter t-shirt for $26. If you need the link, it's on my Twitter, the Blog of the Boys Twitter, the Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed, et cetera. I'll have one on the show in a few days to show off if you want to see it in person. But the image and stuff is all over social media if you want to see it. It's really, really, really cool. Really soft material from our friends over at Breaking Tea. So, yeah, that about does it. We'll be back tomorrow on Ocho Live kind of around the evening. We got a flight tomorrow and stuff. It's going to be a great Monday Night Football game. But your last thought from the trip, the game, and most importantly, the win in Atlanta.
Oh, enjoyed it very much. Atlanta's a very progressive, very fun city. Much to do. The people here have been fantastic. Very very welcoming, very warming. You know, they, you know, jived with us a little bit on Cowboys, but, you know, nothing that, you know, would intimidate you or anything. You know, we felt very welcome, very safe. And I applaud that. You know, just a phenomenal weekend overall. One of our best trips.
This was a lot of fun. Again, one of the best trips that we've taken. Thank God. Had a great time. And we didn't even mention this. I don't know how this is on us. The Cowboys won today. And today is Sunday.
Yeah.
So that means that tomorrow is Victory Polo Monday. So make sure to get your shirts and your polos and your hats, whatever you want to wear. Take a selfie. Tweet it to me. I'm at RJ Ochoa. Tweet it to @bloggingtheboys. We'll get that shirt out. The day of all days, really. And this is the rare time of year where you get two Victory Polo Mondays in 1 week.
That's
hopefully.
Right.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Victory Polo Friday.
It's Victory Polo Monday, the Friday edition. But yeah, so Atlanta was awesome. By the way, shout out to Ben. We had a dinner with Ben last night. Ocho Live viewer, Ocho Live listener. Ben was the man, had a great time, great talk, great conversations. If you're going to be in Indianapolis for the Colts game, we're going to be there so we can try to figure out some sort of meetup and dinner situation again, you know, some point down the road. But yeah, Cowboys won, Eagles lost, Redskins lost. Pretty good day in my book. So we'll see you manana, my friends, as always.
Go Cowboys.
And peace out.
I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.